I have been interested in dreams, studying dreams, using dreams for personal and physical health probably since I was 3 years old.
This is Kate Noble at the University of Washington's Bothell campus, where she holds the awesome title of Professor of Consciousness. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, this is Sound Effect, and what Kate Noble's mind conjures while she's asleep has guided her life since she was a small child.
I can remember when I was three and a half, somewhere around then, having my first lucid dream. I was aware of being in a pretty dysfunctional family. Many layers of conflict, maternal, psychiatric dysfunction, absentee father. But I remember then having this dream, this powerful lucid dream, and encountering this being of light who essentially said to me, this is a rough life. You know, you have put together some difficult circumstances. If you're going to thrive, if you're going to flourish, if you're going to learn what you went to learn, there are some things you're going to need to know. And one of those things is meditation, how to turn in. And I'm going to show you how to do that. And I can't describe it except to say I somehow came back understanding that there were, and this is a poor metaphor, but there were switches that one could switch internally that enabled access to deeper portions of the mind. And that was crucially important in developing resilience and having a larger sense of meaning and purpose, which for many people who go through trauma or dysfunction lose early in life because the pain just doesn't make any sense. And I'm not saying that dreams are a magic cure, but what I am saying is that the dreaming mind can help the waking mind to find comfort and meaning and purpose in circumstances that might otherwise be totally overwhelming. So that's what I learned, and that's what I've been practicing ever since. But I have to remind you, I was a weird kid.
Today on Sound Effect, our theme is Dream On: Fantasies, Nightmares, and the American Dream Interrupted. That's all ahead on today's show. When Kate Noble starts out teaching her undergraduate class about dreams, she says that for the first few weeks, students are skeptical.
They come in and their primary assumptions are that dreams aren't real, or they don't mean anything, or they're just neurological discharge or stories that we tell ourselves to keep ourselves from being bored when we're asleep. Those are the common misconceptions. So I begin to introduce them immediately to some of the greatest scientific, technological, literary, musical, artistic inventions and discoveries that have all derived from dreams. I mean, when you realize that Dmitri Mendeleev was finally able to create the periodic table and to discern four elements that would not be discovered for another 15 years, all in his dreams, or that Handel finished his masterpiece of the Messiah through his dreams, the students have no clue about that. And when you present that kind of evidence to them, they at least begin to soften the edges of their skepticism. Giuseppe Tartini, who was a violin virtuoso in the 17th century, I believe, and he had a very powerful dream one night where he was sleeping and the devil was sitting on his chest playing his violin, and playing it so profoundly and beautifully that when Tartini woke up, he transcribed as much as he could remember, and it's come down to us as the Devil's Sonata or the Devil's Trill, which is a magnificent piece of work. Tartini also says that it doesn't come close to what he heard in the dream state. One of the things that you see with people, with inventors or the powerful minds that have these powerful dreams, is that they've all been working on these issues for a long time. It's not like they go to sleep and suddenly, you know, they have a profound vision and everything changes in their lives. They've been working for a long time. They get to a point, though, where they give up because they realize that they have reached the end of their intellectual ability to solve a particular problem. It's that giving up and surrendering that seems to be a critical element in the ability to incubate and then discover something in the dream.
So how do you go about studying dreams or dreaming? How do you design an experiment or an observational kind of a setup in order to learn more?
As a psychologist, I'm much more interested in how the taking dreams seriously transforms people's lives. Because I think that dreams, for a lot of people, and particularly students, gives them access to deeper parts of themselves and can answer their questions, can give them guidance, sometimes can enable them to say goodbye to a parent or a loved person who has died. It's profoundly transformative. Students suddenly begin to take the power of their mind seriously. For me, that's significant, because then we can go from there.
Professor Noble says she's speaking from experience. One story she shares with her students is how she ended up living in Washington State.
I tell my students that when I was 21, I hitchhiked across the country. I grew up in Boston area, Boston and New York, and I hitchhiked across the country following a series of dreams. It was a crazy time, but I trusted my dreams and I trusted what they were telling me, and I knew that where I was not where I wanted to be. And literally, my dreams brought me to Seattle, dreams that showed me what the next steps were to be, and then I followed those steps.
Would you actually see places in your dreams and then feel compelled to go there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. My roadmap came through the dream state.
How did you know to trust your dreams like that?
I don't know how to answer that question, except to say, you know how you feel when something feels right, right? Everybody knows that. And that's what you trust. There's an interplay between the dreaming mind and the waking mind, the dream reality and the waking reality. So that becoming more mindful about your everyday waking life and your everyday waking psyche is a critical component of being able to use the information that the dreaming mind is presenting. But they're also a way of helping people develop what I think of as psychological literacy, which is really beginning to understand who they are, what they think, where they come from, what they want, developing a really solid working relationship with their waking mind.
That's Kate Noble, professor of consciousness at the University of Washington, Bothell.